Welcome, everybody, to the premiere episode of Peach State Prospects, a podcast dedicated to the Atlanta Braves minor league farm system with a specific focus on player development. My name is Gaurav, and I am one of the hosts of this show. I'm joined by two of my good friends, Garrett and Joe. Garrett, how are you doing today?
Man, I am doing good. I'm excited to get this first episode underway and really get something started.
Same here, Joe. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. So I know there's something we've talked about for quite a while. So just like Garrett, I'm excited to get the ball rolling.
Well, I'd love to get us started by, you know, kind of introducing ourselves a little better to our audience. So Garrett, let's start off with you. Why don't you share with us your favorite Braves player of all time, your favorite Braves prospect of all time, and just a little more about yourself.
Well, I'm going to be honest. I think the favorite player and prospect of all time is going to be the same person because, I mean, having watched Ronald Acuña Jr. come up through the years and turn into the player that he has turned into, you know, an MVP player, I'm very proud of him as a player and as a person. And so I've very much grown to like him a lot. I mean, growing up, my favorite player was always Andrew Jones. When I first started watching and playing baseball, he was the guy that I emulated. I always played outfield, so he was the guy that I loved watching playing growing up. And you know, I've been excited to, but you know, Acuña is the guy that I've really been excited over the past few years, and he's kind of a special player because he was really the first like superstar that I watched come through the system from the very beginning. And that leads me into, you know, I've been doing this now since 2015, 9 years. It's been a very long time of covering the minor league system for Battery Power. Now I worked with Gaurav for quite a few years. And of course, even after he left Battery Power, we keep in touch all the time. We're in a group chat with each other and have been for years now. And you know, it's been a very fun time covering the system. I live about 30 minutes outside of Atlanta now, and you know, quite a haul from the Braves Stadium because I'm on the opposite side of Atlanta, but I'm 10 minutes from Gwinnett Stryper Stadium. So I've had a good opportunity to go to a lot of those games and, you know, see a lot of the players coming up through the system.
I got a feeling that we're going to have a lot of the similar POVs on, you know, our favorite players and all that, because we all relatively grew up in the same time. Joe, let's kick it over to you. Who is your favorite Braves player of all time, your favorite Braves prospect of all time, and a little more about yourself?
Yeah, so my favorite Braves player, kind of two-player. My favorite player right now, I think it's going to be kind of the same for most of us, but Ronald Acuña Jr., just one of the most exciting players I've ever seen. And got the pleasure of watching every single day. Never know what he's going to do when he's, you know, on the baseball field. So it's just one of those things where, you know, you almost don't want to miss an at bat of his, or even when he's on base, you know, anything can happen. Favorite player of all time. Mine is Chipper Jones. Grew up, you know, different from you guys. I grew up on the West Coast, here in California. Was it one of those TBS kids, you know? So I grew up, my dad, watched the Braves. I watched him first. Braves player I remember watching was Terry Pendleton back in, you know, early 90s. Played catcher and a lot of third base, so my two favorite players were Javi Lopez and Chipper Jones. My batting stance my entire time playing baseball, from when I was in T-ball all the way up till I stopped, was basically the Chipper Jones from the right side. And my favorite prospect of all time, I didn't really get into following prospects until Jason Hayward came up. But just hearing about Jason Hayward when I started reading more into the prospect, and Jason Hayward immediately became someone that I followed and someone that I became one of my favorite baseball players of all time because of just how much I followed his career when he came up. And, you know, then it came to Julio Teheran and all that. But I'd say Jason Hayward probably just because he's the one who got me into actually like following minor league baseball more.
Opening day home run by Jason is like completely ingrained in my brain. I even remember the call. Oh man, that's just amazing. Times
it's one of those things where it sounds kind of crazy because it's not like, oh, they won the World Series, something like that, but I remember exactly where I was working, driving at that time. I remember for his at bat, I pulled over on the side of the road just because I was like, I don't want to miss this. And I still remember Zambrano went, you know, got down 2-0, and I was like, Jason's going to throw you a fastball. just, sit on that fastball. And if it's in the zone, just, let it eat. And I still remember, like, even talking about it now, I kind of got chills. Just kind of remember, like, the call, like you said, the call is just iconic. As much as I wasn't a fan of Chip Carey, like, that call was just iconic and always will be. And yeah, that was one of the coolest moments.
Was it the same year that Zambrano got shelled by the Braves again and then retired immediately after the game only to make his next start? Was it that same year or was it like the next year? I can't remember exactly.
I have no idea personally. Yeah,
I'm not sure. I remember, I know exactly what you're talking about, but I think he just had like an absolute just meltdown on, yeah, I don't remember if it was that year or if it was the next year, but Zambrano was a character, man.
That's some fun, interesting starts.
Talking about Hayward, I remember, I'm a little younger than you guys. I remember I skipped school that day just to watch the game, and it was a good decision.
I had bills to pay at that time.
Welcome to the show. As for myself, my favorite Braves player, currently and maybe of all time for a number of reasons, is actually Ozzie Albies. It's just something about his personality and his love for his dogs. I don't know. It has a special place in my heart. Much like Garrett, my favorite Braves prospect of all time is none other than Ronald Acuña Jr. We still talk about the same story about Garrett, myself, and then Eric Cole, formerly of the Road to Atlanta podcast, and us inside the Rome Stadium and just hearing balls hit by Ronald Acuña during batting practice. You're like, oh, that dude's a little different than the rest. And then, it was less than a year later that like he's just on top of all the prospect lists. It was just something to witness. He was so much fun to watch. And I also ingrained in my brain was when he was playing in the Australian Baseball League. And my biggest question for him at the time was, can he handle off-speed stuff? And sure enough, those Aussies were just heaving it after him. And he had like a 1200 OPS or something insane. And I was like, all right, like this guy is not only going to be like the guy, he's going to be one of the best of all time. And sure enough, he's definitely on that trajectory. A little fun fact for myself, much like Garrett, I've been writing and covering the Atlanta Braves for like a freaking decade now, which makes me feel real old. I used to write for Battery Powered, but now I have my little musings over on House That Hank Built. So getting to know the three of us a little better. Thanks so much, fellas. I wanted to start this episode off with kind of what we aim to do with this podcast, which is, pretty quite simple. We want to provide in-depth information on the overall development of not just, a few players, but we want to really give you a comprehensive view of the Braves minor league system, our own personal interpretation of how we scout prospects. We want to provide player profiles as well as the occasional player interview. Our goal is to bring you the best Braves minor league content on the market, which will allow you to make your own fully informed evaluations of players. Like, we don't want to tell you what to think. We want to give you as much information that all of us can understand and let you draw your own conclusions. And we also feel it's important to have the players tell their own stories so you understand who they are and what they're all about and what they aim to do. Our agenda for today's podcast is we're going to first touch on our players of the week, as well as answer the question that we get the most often, which is, I'm at a minor league stadium. Who should I watch and why? So I say, gentlemen, let's get this podcast started and let's talk about our Peach State prospects of the week. We're going to start off at the lowest part of the organization, which is the Augusta Green Jackets, and I'm going to talk about it myself. Our position prospect of the week for the Green Jackets for the week of April 14th to 20th is Drew Compton, none other from the 2023 minor league free agent signing, which is, I thought he would at least get drafted a little later in the draft, but he comes from the Georgia Institute of Technology. He appeared in six games, had a 1.121 OPS, Struck out four times, but walked five times. Overall, really solid week, especially after he began the season. And then the pitching performance, or the pitching player of the week, is Garrett Bauman, the 2023 fourth round pick. He's really come into really solid form to start the year. Last week, he pitched in one game, had a seven strikeout performance over six innings, and was downright. He looked real good for low A. From here, I'm going to hand it off to Joe, who's going to cover the Rome Braves. Joe?
Yeah, thanks, Ralph. So for the Rome Braves, for our pitching side, we have Owen Murphy, someone that I'm sure that most people have been familiar with, at least the name. He was a top pick for the Braves back in 2022. Last week, he pitched in one game, five innings pitched, two hits, two earned runs, two walks, and 11 strikeouts. Actually, he's pitching tonight, and currently through 2 2/3, he has 5 Ks. If he keeps up the pace he's on tonight, then he may take over the lead in all of the minor leagues for strikeouts. Owen Murphy's been just absolutely incredible, an arm that I think, you know, sometimes we get prospect fatigue when you hear about a prospect for a long time, but, you know, he's still very, very young and a very exciting arm. The metrics on him have been outstanding. So he's someone that definitely, if you are in the Rome area, someone you want to keep an eye out. And if you're planning to go out to a game, look for one where he's going to be pitching, because he's an exciting arm. On the hitting side, local product, Kevin Kilpatrick out of Stone Mountain, Georgia. He's was a 17th round pick in 2022 out of the College of Central Florida. Seven games last week, he hit 382/382, 371, 677 for an OPS of 1.048. Five doubles, a triple, home run, eight RBIs, scored seven runs and two stolen bases. And more importantly, I think he was one of the originators of the Rome Waddle, I guess you would call it, the celebration for the Rome
Waddle. I love it.
That was sent out by our account. And, you know, he's an exciting player, a little bit older, but, you know, toolsy. I mean, I think he's raw, very raw, but he had a very, very good week last week. So, you know, he can be very exciting. So, yeah, those are the two players from last week.
Appreciate that, Joe. Garrett Waddle, you tell us about the Mississippi Braves.
You know, I'm gonna go a little different here. I'm going to start with our hitting, because Justin Dean, 17th round pick back in 2018. He's a guy who's been in the system a long time. We love Justin Dean. You know, he's a guy who's been a fan favorite. You know, everyone in the organization loves him. You know, the type of player that, you know, really is, you know, a good guy off the field as well. He had a really good week, and overall he's having a good season. You know, he's not huge prospect anymore. You know, he's an older guy, but, you know, a speedy guy, great defender. But last week he went off. He had an OPS over 1,000, hit a home run, stole a couple bases. I mean, Justin Dean's a guy that when he gets on base, he can make magic happen, and he had a great week last week. But the guy to really talk about, and the guy to talk about overall with Mississippi, is Hurston Waldrop, last year's first round pick. The Braves are really limiting him this year. His splitter is one of the best pitches in all of minor league baseball, and they're telling him, we're not going to give you that pitch. Go out and succeed with this fastball, with your fastball and your slider. And he went out last week and succeeded with his fastball and slider. He looked great, especially early in the game. His fastball command is really their focus right now with him, and he seemed to have a pretty good week with his fastball command. Ended up throwing six innings, didn't allow a run through six innings, and then seventh inning came around, he had no run support behind him in a short game because it was a doubleheader. Ended up giving up three pretty soft hit balls for the walk-off. Bit of a rough ending for him, but overall, a great week, especially given the limitations he was given from the Braves to be able to step up and succeed. And, you know, he's, you know, I have him ranked as the number two prospect in the system. And so far earlier this season, he's had a couple rough games, but when he's on, you can really see that he was on, and he was definitely on last week.
It was real encouraging to see. You know, the biggest question I think Hurston has, and we'll go a lot more in depth with him and his profile later on in this series, but you touched on it. We want to see his fastball development. Like, that's going to be the biggest thing that keeps him from Atlanta. And when you handcuff him like that, what's he going to do? Respond? Like, the first few starts didn't get off to the, you know, the greatest, but then he's still able to control. Like, just seeing that progression already is, you know, one really quick for myself. But like, Garrett, what do you think about that, being able to show up in his third start again with those pitching restrictions that you could vividly tell that they have him on, and still be able to do what he did?
I definitely think it's a sign of a great player. As a major league player, you have to have a certain mentality of, you're not going to have three pitches working every day. There are going to be days in his major league career that he's not going to be able to throw his splitter and land it where he wants to. And he has to be able to throw other pitches and succeed with other pitches. And being able to do that is often the difference between a guy, a great starter, and just a good starter. Being able to limit, instead of giving up seven runs when you don't have it, give up three runs when you don't have it. Being able to do what he did and succeed with only really only two pitches is definitely something you want to see from every pitcher, is being able to succeed when you're not at your best.
It was just, yeah, real special to watch him pitch last week. I'm going to take us home with the Gwinnett Stripers, and on the pitching side, we're going to throw a little wrench into your plans. And while everyone probably assumes it's going to be AJ Smith-Shawver who's going to win probably the bulk of these awards, we're going to go ahead and throw this over to Grant Holmes, who is off to just a fantastic start for Gwinnett this year. Grant Holmes was a minor league free agent back in 2022, and this year, right now, he's really pitching strong. Last week he showed up in one outing, had three strikeouts. He's got a good four pitch mix right now with his slider, fastball, curveball, and cutter. But really, it's a slider that has is going extremely well for him so far this season. Really interesting to see as the season progresses, and you know, you're gonna have your pitching injuries. What happens with Grant Holmes? Is he going to be on that potential short list? He's got a huge hurdle in front of him because he's on the 40-man roster. But, you know, you never know what happens over the course of a season. The hitting, you can't call him really prospect, but the hitting player of the week is going to be none other than Sandy Leone, who put on a Gwinnett Stripers jersey and turned into Johnny Bench. Last week, he slashed .300, .533 with a slugging of .700. He hit a double, he homered, and he walked five times. Like, the start he's had in a Gwinnett Stripers jersey is hilarious. It seems like if you're in the Braves organization, you just tear the ball off the cover if you pay the catching position. But, you know, kudos to those players for the, frankly, well, let's say the prestigious Peach State Prospects Players of the Week. Now we're going to switch gears, and we're going to cover the question that we get asked the most. Who should I watch when I head to a game? We're going to start the series off by kicking it over to Garrett for his thoughts on the 12 and 11 Gwinnett Stripers roster. Garrett, who do the Stripers have that really stands out to you, and who should we be watching for?
I mean, if you're going to a Gwinnett Stripers game, chances are you're going to see a major league pitcher. The rotation is full of them. Guys like Dylan Dodd, Darius Fiennes, Alan Wynans, guys that have pitched in Atlanta, some guys who have had some success in Atlanta. But of course, we mentioned him earlier, the reason to go out to a Gwinnett game is AJ Smith-Shawver. You know, last year, a lot of people prematurely decided that a 21-year-old having a few bad games at the major league level was a reason to write him off. Well, you might want to rethink that and go watch him at Gwinnett this year. You know, he's up over 99, nearly 100 right now. He's got a fantastic splitter working for him right now. His slider's improved. Just the steps that he's taken every year as a prospect for us has been astounding. And I have him ranked as the number one prospect in the system. My eyes are on him every single time that he pitches. And if you're going to a Gwinnett game and you have a chance to see Smith-Shawver pitch, you're going to be in for a treat. His start the other night was phenomenal. He topped out at 99.8. he does everything you need him to. And then you look on the offensive end, you got a guy in JP Martinez there who's gonna get a little bit of major league time. The Braves don't use their bench a ton, so you probably won't see too many at bats from JP Martinez unless one of the guys out there gets hurt. But he's really done quite well for them. He's hit the ball very hard this year. A guy that they got in a trade this offseason from the Rangers, and, you know, an older prospect, but a guy who does have legit athleticism, legit power, you know, hasn't really ever been able to hit, but he's had a great season. And he's definitely a guy that, should the Braves need someone to fill in, would be one of their first calls.
Yeah. So again, we don't have to talk about Smith-Shawver anymore than we have, but just seeing him last game, last start, coming out the gates, throwing what was like 97, 98, 99. You know, it's clear that the Braves want him also to work on his fastball command. And, you know, between the two of you, like if he takes that next step and he's one thing he definitely has to work on is stamina and maintaining that velocity throughout his starts. But if Smith-Shawver is able to command that fastball better and showcase that changeup, which is now what we're defining or what we're calling a splitter, because that 87 to 89 mile an hour velocity, like, what do you two think Smith-Shawver is capable of? Let's talk 99th percentile, and then best, and then, you know, from there, let's talk about like kind of worst case scenario.
Sure.
Joe, we'll start with you.
So I think the sky's the limit for an arm like, you know, like Smith-Shawver's, right? I mean, I shared with you guys earlier that something came out that from MLB if, with the starters and AAA to hit 99 miles an hour, right? It's Smith-Shawver and it's Paul Skenes. Obviously, Paul Skenes like generational talent, so he has, you know, almost 100 fastballs already that are touching 99 plus, but Smith-Shawver's second on that list, right? The velocity is, if he can show that he has the stamina to carry it, I think it's something that Garrett kind of touched on, but it's easy to forget that he hasn't been pitching for very long. He was a dual sport athlete. He was a football player primarily when he was in high school, and had he not got drafted out of high school, I mean, I think he would just be draft eligible this year out of college, right? He's younger than Hurston Waldrop is, so he's still developing. I think he's a one of those situations that we got into in the past with like a Mike Soroka, right, where the team needed an arm and he was the best option at that time with his stuff. And so he got a shot early. Had he not got that shot, I don't think people would have soured on him like they have. But 99th percentile, frontline starter, right? And then if he, you know, if things don't work out and he just becomes a guy with a fastball and that splitter, then late inning impact reliever, he's a very special arm, very special arm. And the strides that he's making this year make me believe that he can be a starter long term. And that's going to be huge. The Braves are going to need some arms here in the rotation the next couple of years, right? So I'm really looking forward to see how he develops over this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely, I mean, he's already gone to the major leagues, and you know, he wasn't great, but he's had success and had good games at the major leagues at 21. So, you know, that floor is major league pitcher already. There are very few players in the minor leagues that their floor is major league pitcher. And then, like you say, I mean, that's a guy that, you know, if he hits and he's able to command all of his pitches are already major league quality. We know that. If he can command all of his pitches, you know, that's a guy that can step in and be, you know, the guy you turn to in game one or two of a playoff series and trust that he's going to get outs consistently.
You know, that's a real good point, Garrett. I think the mere idea of someone having a floor of a major league, you know, not just starting pitcher, but major league pitcher is kind of ridiculous. And that's a truly, truly gifted player. Thanks for that. So from Gwinnett, we take that short flight over to Pearl, Mississippi. So Joe, let's hear about what you got to say about the Mississippi Braves.
Yeah, so Mississippi Braves, obviously Braves double A team, which exciting for those who live closer to Atlanta. They're going to be in Georgia next year, so they'll be even closer. So for them, obviously, Garrett talked about Hurston Waldrop, right? I'm not going to go too in depth on him because we already talked about him quite a bit, but definitely someone that if you have a chance to see pitch out there, that you want to see him because I think he's someone who could be on that AJ Smith-Shawver trajectory from last year. Could see him in the bigs here, big leagues here in the second half. But again, he's an exciting arm. On the offensive side, someone we saw quite a bit of in spring training, Nacho Alvarez, right? Shortstop. He was drafted in 2022 in the fifth round out of Riverside Community College. Kind of a different hitter than I think we have on our big league roster here, right? We're used to the guys that are hitting home runs, hitting the ball 450 feet. This guy hasn't hit for much power this year, but he just gets on base. In his minor league career, he has an on-base percentage of 405, a batting average of 284, slugging just 382, and 295 this year early in the season. But he just hits line drives everywhere. Pretty good defender. Looks like he can stick at shortstop. I think he's going to be someone that is going to be someone you definitely want to keep an eye on because he may be knocking on the door of the big league roster here within the next maybe year or so. And I know that Gaurav and I talked a little bit. He may be someone that if there was a long-term need at shortstop and he didn't want to turn to a Guillorme or a Fletcher, he may be someone that gets a look later in the season if he can continue to hit the ball the way he has. We'll see if the power comes, but just like we've talked a little bit, if he's going to hit line drives into the gaps like that, I mean, there's a place for him on any big league roster, right? And then the other guy that stands out right now is Drake Baldwin, catcher. He's a left-handed hitting catcher. He currently is slashing 296, 356, 407. He started off the season a little bit slow, but he's kind of been on a tear lately. What's his on-base streak up to now? Is it 10 games, Garoff?
Yeah, I think it's 10 games now.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's really come on in the last week or so. He's actually shown quite a bit. He was a third-round pick in 2022 out of Missouri State. I think he's been someone who can stick at a catcher, which I think is a lot of times when you draft a catcher, the first question is, can he stick, right? But he's going to stick at catcher. His bat seems to be progressing, and he's someone who, you know, everyone loves Travis d'Arnaud, right? But when Travis d'Arnaud decides to hang it up, we may have that person who steps in with that left-handed complement to Sean Murphy in that backup role. And I think that he would do very well in that role. And then because you guys gave me crap for it, I'm going to throw a shout out to my favorite player in Mississippi. It's Keyshawn Ogans out of the University of California, Berkeley, because I'm always going to give a shout out to Cal Bear. So don't have much on Keyshawn, but he's always going to be a favorite of mine.
I can respect that, Joe. Don't worry. You know, I love the Nacho Alvarez that his OBP is actually higher than his slugging. I'm curious as to how often that's happened and like how often it's been a successful, not like a 200 OBP, 100 slugging, but like 400 and 300. It's kind of funny to think about.
Yeah, because he's not only above his slugging, he's 397, a 295 slugging percentage this year. I mean, obviously, like I said, it's early in the season, but he hasn't shown too much extra base power at all this year. But I think with his career slugging at 382, I think we're going to see the doubles come, right? But if he keeps hitting line drives everywhere, that's something that'll come. We're not worried. It'd be different if he was just, you know, slapping a bunch of ground balls and beating out infield singles, but that's not the case with Nacho Alvarez.
I just see Brad Pitt saying he gets on base. All Nacho Alvarez does. Garrett, sorry to put you on the spot like this, but I remember you talking about Nacho's, you know, line drive rate. Did you have anything to say about kind of where his swing is right now and what he's capable of?
Yeah, well, his line drive rate's sitting at 33%, which is absurd. You know, he's a guy that really, you know, he's so opposite field heavy right now, and that's why we're not seeing a lot of power. He hits a lot of ground balls. There's definitely work, and we saw it a lot at the end of last year where they're trying to get him to open up more and really turn on balls and lift, and it's just going to take time and it's going to take some progress from him, but he's hitting the ball consistently, and if you get on base at a 370, 380 clip, you're at least an average major league hitter, and he's going to do that. You know, the other two guys that you mentioned on the hitting side are guys that I really like, Baldwin and Ogans. I think Ogans, you know, not necessarily a starter type player, but a guy that can spray line drives all over the field, can play all three defensive positions in the infield. There's a lot of value there. Baldwin is one that I've really watched lately because, you know, early in the season, he was a little out of sorts with his approach, and he was kind of swinging at everything, but now he's sat back. He's really looking for fastballs he can hunt. He's looking to hit line drives more consistently and really drive the ball. And so you've seen his walks go up, you've seen strikeouts go down, and now he's hitting the ball hard. And Baldwin's a guy that I really like. He's a guy that I've been high on really since last year. I like him defensively. He looks comfortable back there behind the plate, and he got off to a slow start last year. He did the same thing this year, but it's all approach based with him, where when he's hunting in the zone and looking for his pitch, he can really hit the ball. And it's when he gets overly aggressive inside of the zone is when he starts to struggle. But over the last couple of weeks, you've really seen him turn into that guy that can just hit extra base hits all over the place, lots of line drives, more fly balls. And he has the ability, you know, like you say, very high end backup, kind of low end starter type player that has a lot of value to really any organization.
Yeah. And just to touch on, I know just because I thought of this when Garoff brought this up, but the whole OBP higher than slugging percentage, and just because he's on the Braves right now, but Luis Guillorme in his 7-year career is slashing 258, 341, 331. So that just kind of shows, you know, someone like Nacho Alvarez, if the power never comes, because I mean, Luis Guillorme has what, 5 home runs, and I think 4 of them were off of Darren O'Day. Not it's actually 2, but that's someone who's going to have a big league career. If you can play shortstop and play it well, then there's always going to be a need for that backup role, even if he's not someone who's going to hit for power. So I think Nacho Alvarez is going to have a pretty decent career as long as he keeps progressing.
Was it Ben Ingram that was talking with Darren O'Day and Darren O'Day talking about how much he fears Luis Guillorme?
Yeah, it was.
Hilarious segment.
I had to look that up. I looked at his, when the Braves signed him, I looked at it and I was like, five home runs. I was like, I wonder when they were hit. And I'm like, how did he hit two home runs off the same pitch? He only has five in his career. And it's not like he played for 1 year. So that's pretty incredible step.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was just a hilarious conversation. You could hear a little bit of the fear in Darren O'Day's voice when talking about Guillorme. That brings us back to Georgia, where we head over to Rome. And after talking about Sandy Leone and Grant Holmes, I felt that I got to talk about the Rome Emperors, who are, quite frankly, the most intriguing team in the organization. As of April 25th, the timing, the date of which we recorded this episode, Rome is currently sitting in second place with an 8-7 record. They have five of the Braves' top 30 prospects and have surrendered the second fewest runs in their division. And it's quite clear why, which is those five prospects in the top 30, according to MLB Pipeline. A couple of names just to be aware of: Jared Johnson. He was a late pop-up and back in 2019, drafted by the Braves. He's taken a step forward this year, got the huge massive fastball and a good slider. Really solid relief pitcher. If that command is what, if that command stays and is true to, you know, who he is as a player, we're going to see him quickly rise up the ranks here this year. Following him would be Roldy Muniz, the twin brother of Rodery. Now, Roldy, I wouldn't say has the same ceiling as Rodery, but he's still heck of a fun to watch on the mound. He's got right now a near 16 K per nine. He has one of the most effortless 99 mile an hour fastballs with a really tight slider. Those are a couple of the smaller, you know, kind of smaller names, but still really fun players to watch. But now it's on to kind of like the main course. We're going to start off with a player who you probably won't see pitch right now, but could make a return, or, you know, someone to watch in the Braves organization. And that is the number 27th ranked prospect, again, according to MLB Pipeline, and none other than Blake Burkhalter. The Braves drafted him as a true relief pitcher. He's going to have a really quick climb up the ladder as soon as he's healthy, but he did have Tommy John surgery back in 2023. He features three, you know, potential average to flashing plus pitches. That's his fastball, his cutter, and his changeup. So might not see him right now, but someone to be aware of later in the season. From there, we got Drew Hackenberg, 10th rated prospect. He features three pretty average pitches in his fastball, his slider, and his cutter, but he can throw them for strikes, which is why the Braves drafted him and why people expect, you know, a pretty rapid rise. From there, we go over to Spencer Schwellenbach, the two-way player who the Braves drafted as a pitcher. He is currently ranked third in the organization. He features four pitches, his fastball, which isn't what it quite was earlier in his career when he was in college and he was kind of synonymous with, you know, 98, 99. Right now, he's sitting more in the 94 to 96 range. He's got a good slider, a good curveball, and a good changeup. That's four potential plus pitches with good command. The command has come a lot sooner than expected, recovering from Tommy John surgery. So really, next year is going to be extremely intriguing for Spencer. We have the man on the mound tonight, which is none other than Owen Murphy. He's currently the fifth rated prospect, although for us, I would probably put him up there as, you know, number two. He's got a good fastball. He throws good curveball, slider, and changeup, and can command all four. At his age, to have that kind of command, you know, really intriguing. He's a vastly, you know, underrated pitcher, I would say, and it could come, you know, I think this is the year he, by midseason, he's cracking that top 100 list, sitting somewhere in the 80s, and by next year, sitting in AAA and on the cusp of making a major league rotation. You know, and then finally on the pitching side would be Giancarlo Lara, who is currently listed as the number 13th prospect. He is an incredibly intriguing name. And for me, especially if he's in that if they make that switch to that, you know, relief role, he's someone fully capable of sitting at 99 to 101 with absurd tight spinning slider. You know, if everything's clicking for Giancarlo, he's, as far as I'm concerned, he's got two major league pitches and both are out pitches. He is an incredibly intriguing arm. He started the season on the injured list this year with an oblique strain, not an oblique strain, but with a oblique related injury. He's looking to come back either this week or really in the short term future. Again, someone to really watch when he's healthy because that is a major league quality arm. On the position side, you have the number 18th prospect, Saban Ceballos, and then one of the Braves' biggest minor league international signings over the past 5 years, and Ambioris Tavares. Incredibly intriguing defensive shortstop. Strikes out way too much right now, kind of a non-factor on offense, but the tools are there. He can hit for power. It's just the question is, can he hit? And you know, way too early in his career to say anything crazy, but right now he's got some work to do on the offensive side of things, but on the defensive side, that's he's sticking at shortstop. He should be a very, I would even dare to say, elite defensive shortstop. Intriguing players. You also have, you know, to a lesser extent, the Kevin Kilpatricks, the Ethan Werkingers. David McCabe is on the Rome roster, but again, he's hurt right now. And then EJ Exposito, who came out of, you know, I had a really solid year last year. He's not a top prospect by any means, but just a really solid contributor on the minor league side. Joe, Garrett, do you guys have anything to say about those Rome players? Or did I miss anybody?
Nope. I think you not I can't think of some anyone that you missed. I will say just an update on Owen Murphy. He's through 4 2/3 with 7 Ks, and not gonna jinx anything, but that's about it tonight for him. Owen Murphy is definitely someone who I could see definitely jumping back onto people's radars, definitely jumping up on some top 100s. I will say that when you mentioned a lot of these kind of raw arms that really talented, the Braves don't have a deep system, but they have some exciting players if you know who to look for. They just don't have their rosters kind of littered with them like they did, you know, 6 7 years ago. But yeah, great job covering Rome.
Yeah, and I mean, I want to look at three players in particular here. On the offensive side, Sabin Ceballos, we had a guy come through the system. Goro's gonna like to shout out a couple of years ago in Justin Henry Molloy. He was
Let's
traded
go.
out, but you know, a similar type of offensive profile to Sabin Ceballos in that, you know, they're really line drive hitters who draw a lot of walks. Strikeout rates are high right now, but a lot of that is their eye is better than single A quality umpires. But guys that have raw strength that if they start lifting the ball, you can see them possibly hitting more, you know, 15-ish home runs in a season, you know, really valuable high-end hitters, you know, on base first guys here, but he can stick at third base and seems like he's going to be a good third baseman. And that's, I mean, such a valuable player. You know, Owen Murphy, of course, we're going to end up talking a lot about Owen Murphy this year. So you don't want to spend too much time on him here, but you know, he's a guy that his fastball is arguably his best pitch and it sits in the low 90s. But he has, as a 20-year-old, he already has such great command of the pitch. He locates it exactly where he wants and he's so spin, his spin is so tight and it's a great shape. And he's able to get a tons of swings and misses with a low 90s fastball in addition to a curveball and slider that can both get swings and misses. It's a three-pitch pitcher with command at as a 20-year-old. There's a lot to be excited about there, and I'm really looking forward to him. You know, he came into this game 7 strikeouts behind the minor league leader for strikeouts. My laptop that the game is on just went to sleep, so I'm not sure if he's gotten his 8th yet, but he did have 7 just a second ago, and could be looking at the minor league leader in a few minutes, actually. Jared Johnson, too. You know, he was a guy that I saw last year in person, and he is a little bit of a funny guy. He'd throw 94, 96, and he wouldn't look that great. And then all of a sudden, he came out and it was 99 to 101 with a wipeout slider, and he struck out the side. And I'm like, wait a minute, wait a minute. That's the guy I want to see every single day. He got moved to a single inning role
at the end of last year, and ever since then, he's really taken off. And he's another one of those guys that could really be a late inning relief arm like Lara. You know, I don't think he's as good as Lara. I don't think the spin is as good as Lara, but the velocity is, and he's really been able to overpower hitters since taking over in that role.
I really want Ceballos to work out just for the mere idea of a bench player who's capable of playing third and catcher. That's just versatility that you don't really see.
Actually, and also Garrett Murphy finished the fifth without another strikeout, so he's still sitting on seven, but it looks like he's not even at 70 pitches yet, so he probably still has some gas in the tank.
This is one of the most dominant starts I've ever seen. If you guys are listening, you can, when this podcast is over, go to the April 25th start on MILB TV and rewatch Owen Murphy, because he's putting on a show right now. This is incredibly impressive.
This is can't miss stuff. He's overpowering and yet efficient. It's just special stuff we're watching right now. Thanks for coming in, you two. You know, our final stop is over in Augusta, where the Green Jackets are currently sitting 7-10. Have had, you know, quite a few defensive issues, some pitching issues, but they still got some players really worth watching. So, Garrett, why don't you take us home?
Yeah, down to Augusta. You know, unfortunately, I would say they're one of their best prospects was Isaiah Drake. He struggled to start the year, and he ended up coming up with a hamstring injury last week, so he looks like he might be out for a minute, but there's still a lot to like there. And especially, again, you look at the pitching staff, and that's where the Braves really have their talent. Garrett Bowman has really been, I think, if we want to talk about a breakout prospect early in the season, that's been the guy. His changeup for a 19-year-old is absurdly good, and he's a 6'8 guy who can really command the ball. Do we see some with his size? We may see some velocity development down the line, but right now he's, you know, in the low 90s, can get up to 95 with a great changeup. I think he needs some work on his slider, or even to just invent a second pitch, a different curveball to go with. But right now, what he has with the changeup and command, he's going to succeed at the low A level and really not have many problems, and he hasn't to start the year. Last year's second round pick, Cade Keeler, or no, I'm sorry, he was a comp round pick, Cade Keeler. He's, you know, a fireballing pitcher with a good slider. You know, I'm a little somewhat surprised that he was put at single A this year, because he was an older college arm, but he's done very well for himself, putting up very high strikeout rates. He's one that you're going to watch, but I think the one that we're all watching the most is Adam Meyer. It was a long wait to see Meyer pitch. He was out with Tommy John surgery for 2 years, and now he's back. And, you know, for him, most of what we're watching this year is health, right? We want to see him healthy and on the field, but he's early in the season, mostly lived up to what we expected from him. Of course, there's rust. The guy hasn't pitched in 2 years in a competitive way, and so his command isn't exactly where you want to see it. That's expected from a guy coming off an injury like that. But to have a slider that can get into 3,000 RPMs and a split change that's just absurd, that's two great pitches that he has, and he's in a position right now where I think he's slightly ahead of where I expected him to be. He's striking out a batter an inning right now. He actually isn't walking a lot of guys, though. He is giving up quite a few hits. Just, you know, he's leaving some balls up, but, you know, he's got a sinker, so he gets a lot of ground balls. He's getting swings and misses with those secondaries. That's an exciting guy, and a guy that we kind of had to be down on, right? If a guy doesn't pitch for 2 years, you have to drop him in your rankings. But now I think what we've seen from him early in the season has impressed me, and that's what I wanted to see out of him, and where I, you know, he's ticking the boxes that we want to see him tick. You know, on the offensive side, you know, without Drake, there isn't a huge number of exciting guys, but there's definitely a lot of mid-table prospects, the best of those being Diego Benitez, a big international signing a couple of years ago, he's been decent. You know, second half of last year, he really had kind of a breakout in the Florida Complex League. He struggled a little bit with strikeouts early in this year, but I'm actually not particularly concerned with him right now. You know, defensively, he's going to have questions, but he's a guy that can put the bat on the ball. He has the ability to square up balls, hit line drives consistently, hit the ball hard. It's just right now, pitch recognition isn't great for him, but he's 19 years old. And a 19-year-old, if you look at any 19-year-old in baseball, unless it's Juan Soto, he's going to struggle with curveballs. That's every pitch, you know, every hitter, he needs to learn better which pitches he can hit and which ones he can't. But when he swings at the right pitches, he's hitting it hard and he's hitting a lot of line drives and he has raw power. We know that. So that's a guy that maybe the numbers right now aren't great, but watch his progression. He's going to be one that we're going to be interested in watching his progression, and look at him come July and you're going to see a different pitcher. And look at him come August and suddenly he's going to be one of the better hitters on the team, or at least I expect him to be, just from the progression we expect to see these guys have. And then a guy that, another one that's popped up this year that I don't think we really expected to, was Robert Gonzalez, another 19-year-old. The team is full of teenagers, and the guy, you know, he had some decent seasons at the rookie levels, but as he's come out this year, he's a guy that just sprays line drives all over the field. Great bat control. Even if his swing, you know, he has a somewhat long swing, and yet there's great bat control there. He hits hard line drives everywhere, and there seems to be room for him to grow into some power. So he's a guy that plays all three outfield positions, can hit at a high rate. That's a player that I'm really interested in watching progress this year, and I think a lot of people should keep their eyes on him, because for me right now, he's already a top 30 prospect. What he's done already is enough to be a top 30 prospect, and if we can see some power develop, see a bit more of a better approach develop, that's a guy that's really shown off the ability to hit early in the season.
That was a great deep cut with Robert Gonzalez. Yeah, I know right now he's slashing. He's got 594 OPS, but like you said, there's so many indicators that he's got talent that you don't normally see, especially in low A. And it's going to be interesting when rookie ball gets started, and, you know, we're going to see a big shuffling of players, you know, relatively soon. So it'll be interesting if, you know, when Drake comes back, is he still in Augusta, or maybe he gets some time down in complex ball. I know you, Garrett, you called out a couple of things about Isaiah's hips opening a little too early, you know, things that were clearly there that he can work on and become that player that we all believe in. So the next couple of weeks, actually, again, as those rookie ball rosters get unveiled and we see players coming back from injury, where the state of the organization is, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of moving happening very soon. Let's see if Owen Murphy is in Rome after we finish recording this episode. I think it's going to be very likely that he'll be headed over to Mississippi sooner than later. Well, that was a lot from the three of us and wraps us up for the week. Please join us. You know, we'll be recording our next episode next Monday, and that's when we'll begin our deep dive into player profiles, which will include, you know, not only their performance this year, but what we want to see from them in 2024, what we believe they need to work on, and their overall ETA to the major leagues and what they're capable of. I think I speak for Garrett and Joe when I say thank you all for taking the time out of your day to listening to us this week. And we really look forward to showing you all what we have in store for the rest of the season.